Well, Sabbath greetings one and all, and welcome to our main church service on this wonderful and blessed Sabbath day, the holy day of the Lord. Welcome to those that are on the phone. Welcome to those that have tuned in to WLMR Radio. Welcome also to those that are listening to the recording. And we appreciate you all choosing to fellowship with us and joining with us in uplifting Jesus Christ and worshiping Him from whom all blessings flow. So praise the Lord, dear ones, that we're able to come back together and to unitedly dig into God's Word of Truth. And it's a pleasure to be in fellowship with you today. Our opening song is entitled, In a Little While. And you can find this beautiful hymn on our website in the home church section under music and then under hymns. Let us sing a song that will cheer us by the way. In a little while we're going home. For the night will end in the everlasting day. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. We will do the work that our hands may find to do. In a little while we're going home. And the grace of God will our daily strength renew. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. We will smooth the path for some weary, way-worn feet. In a little while we're going home. And may loving hearts spread around an influence sweet. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. There's a rest beyond, there's relief from every care. In a little while we're going home. And no tears shall fall in that city bright and fair. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. Hold fast, dear ones. Endure until the end. Finish the race. And the crown of life will be placed on your head by the hands of Jesus Christ Himself. In just a little while, we'll be home. I ask that you please bow your heads and reverently kneel as we have opening prayer. Our dear beloved Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here, and please continue to dwell with us, to lead and guide us, to bring the loving, glorious, and joyous atmosphere that surrounds you and your throne and fills all heaven down to be with us and to fill this gathering here. And we thank you for doing so. Dear Savior, we thank you for also being here, and we pray that you will continue to dispel darkness in our hearts with the bright beams of your righteousness and truth. And thank you so very much for dwelling with us and lightening our hearts with the truth, with yourself. And dear Spirit, we also thank you for being here, and please continue to lead and guide us into all truth. Continue to quicken our understanding. Continue to remove from us custom and tradition and preconceived ideas and opinions. Let all falsehood and darkness be dispelled, and let us clearly understand and comprehend the truth. Help us to be much more spiritually minded and so much less earthly minded, so that we will not be caught off guard and led down a path that leads to destruction, but that we may instead avoid all the tracks that lead to error, and instead only be on the track that leads to eternal life. And thank you so much for helping us. Dear Father, we pray that you will be with all of those who are in need of healing, physical as well as spiritual. Please work with them, comfort them, lead and guide them, and thank you so much for doing so. I pray, dear Father, that you will also be with a dear family that has lost a precious loved one. Please draw near them and comfort their hearts and help them to avoid the temptation to complain against thee. Help them to avoid the devil's temptation to doubt that God really loves them because of this tragedy. And help them to draw closer to thee, recognizing how fragile life is. And that if we've given our hearts to thee, then whatever you allow to occur in our lives is for the best possible reason, with the goal of everlasting life in mind. Build their faith, Father. Let the trust continue to reside in thee and not be shaken. And thank you so much for being with them and sending your Spirit to comfort them in this time. We also pray, dear Father, that you'll be with the upcoming meetings in Kenya and the rest of the world. Prepare hearts to receive the truth. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, welcome, dear ones, and happy Sabbath. And we're continuing in our series on Babylon Then and Now, and this is part 9. And previously, in the other parts that we've gone through, we've learned that the reason why God raised up the Adventist Church was to live, to preach, and to spread to all the world the greatest truth that has ever been given to any group of God's people in the history of this world. And this truth is contained in the three angels' messages. So then we began examining what was the original truth upon which the Adventist Church was founded upon regarding these three angels' messages. And we began with the first angel. And we compared the original position to the current position which the Adventist Church of today takes on these same messages from heaven. And quite amazingly, we discover that the Adventist Church of today has taken a completely different position on these messages, and that she has changed the truths that are contained in the first angel's message into a message of falsehood, bondage, and corruption instead. So this plainly revealed to us that the Adventist Church has rejected the original truths of the first angel's message and has replaced these with a counterfeit message of falsehood that originates with the Father of Lies himself. Now, in continuing with the second angel, we learn that the Adventist Church of today has changed these truths into extreme vagueness and falsehood, and is thereby keeping people in bondage to the real Babylon, to the loss of their souls. So this plainly showed us that the Adventist Church has rejected the truth of the second angel's message and has instead replaced it with a counterfeit message of deception. Now, we discovered last time that the Adventist Church has changed some of the truths of the third angel into something completely different than what they originally were founded upon. We learned that they've changed the truth of the beast, being Roman Catholicism, into something vaguely representing the false lord or self-worship. We learned last time that they have changed the heaven-insulting heresy of the Eucharist into something that is sacred and proper for Adventist Christians to practice today. We learned that they have changed the meaning of Antichrist to being the Pope in Catholicism into instead being just a mindset. We saw that they've changed the lamb-like beast, which is the United States of America, into something vaguely representing an idol-making power or the anti-spirit today. We discovered that they've changed the image of the beast, being the Protestant churches which image Catholicism, including the World Council of Churches, into something that is an idol or image that we worship, including ourselves, or that it is a combination of belief in God and putting forth efforts to obey him. We also saw that the Adventist Church has changed the mark of the beast, which is Sunday worship after it's made into a law, into now being the doctrine of salvation by works, including even the keeping of God's Sabbath day holy. And we saw that they changed religious liberty, which is the God-given right to study, stand by, proclaim his truth, and to expose error, into now being allowed only if the Adventist Church approves of it. So we clearly saw that the Adventist Church of today has indeed rejected these particular truths of the third angel's message and has embraced satanic fallacy instead. But last time we didn't have enough time to investigate into the other truths contained in this message of the third angel. And these other truths are, and for those who would like to follow along with the quotes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1466.htm. So, the remaining truths of the third angel's message, and if you look at quote number one of them is the wrath of God being the literal seven last plagues which fall upon the head of the wicked and kills them. Another truth contained in the third angel's message is the non-immortality of the soul, that there's only a grave to rest in death, but there's no hell or purgatory to descend into. And the gift of immortality is only given unto the righteous when Christ comes the second time. Another truth contained in the third angel's message is that the sanctuary is in heaven. And this sanctuary in heaven contains a holy place, or the first apartment, and a most holy place, or the second compartment. Another truth is Christ's work of atonement in the most holy place or the second apartment of the heavenly sanctuary, has been going on since October 22, 1844, at the ending of the 2300 days of Daniel chapter 8. And that his ministration or atoning work in this second apartment will not finish until his work is done. And this occurs just before his second coming. Connected with this is another truth of the third angel, that Christ is the head or the first minister of his church, that he is also our high priest and mediator between God and man. Another truth of the third angel is that the true church of God is founded only on Christ and his truth. And the marks of the true church are found listed in Revelation 12:17 and Revelation 14:12, that they keep the commandments of God, they have the faith of Jesus, and they also have the testimony of Jesus Christ, which is the spirit of prophecy, which we know to be the writings of Ellen White. And so these writings of Sister White have their continuing purpose and are still to be followed today as a guiding light until Christ comes. Another glorious truth of the third angel's message is the righteousness of Christ, and his righteousness is the precious conditional gift which he imputes to us by faith and enables every repentant sinner to be accepted back to God as his sons and daughters and to receive his grace to live his life. And this grace will enable us to overcome all sin. It will enable us to perfect holiness in the fear of God before Christ comes the second time. This precious message of Christ's righteousness also leads us to understand that we must use our willpower in taking the first step in obedience to God, and then his grace will come to us in enabling us to continue overcoming. And in this continuing to overcome, this process of sanctification, Christ's righteousness is continuously imparted to us, making it possible for us to overcome. Now, this truth also declares that the law of God is still binding upon the Christian today, and that Christ's keeping of the law does not free us from having to also keep it. This also shows us that perfection is not instantaneous, but it is a continual growing in grace. So while we are living on the earth, no one is yet saved. They're in the process of salvation. And no one should say or feel that they are saved until they actually make it into heaven. And this truth of Christ's righteousness also teaches us that his precious robe will not cover any known unrighteousness or one unconfessed sin. And so no one can find salvation while continuing to break God's law. And finally, the third angel's message teaches us that the seventh day, or Saturday, is the only Lord's day of worship as his holy Sabbath. Teaches us that the Sabbath is the sign or the seal of God, and that there is no biblical truth supporting a change to Sunday as the Lord's day. So this shows us that we must keep the Sabbath holy in obedience to God out of love for him, if we would see heaven. So these are the remaining major truths contained in the third angel's message. And so now, has the Adventist Church also changed these remaining truths of the third angels into error? Or do they continue to teach what they were originally founded upon as a church? And this is what we're going to be investigating into today. So then what does the Adventist Church teach today about the wrath of God being the seven last plagues? From the Signs of the Times, July 1978, on page 19, the Church teaches, the third angel of Revelation 14 warns that in the end, the wrath of God, unmixed with mercy, will be poured out on the heads of unrepentant sinners. God gives up such people and turns them over to the results of their rebelliousness. Since faith and love cannot be forced, what else can God do but sadly give up those who reject him? God's wrath is his turning away in loving disappointment from those who do not want him, thus leaving them to the inevitable consequences of their own rebellious choice. Such is a picture of God's wrath. So then God's wrath is no longer the seven last plagues, but it is now just his turning away from the wicked. Well, what does the Adventist Church teach today about the non-immortality of the soul? If you look at quote number 3. Now, we know that the Bible states that the soul that sins, it shall die, which is Ezekiel 18:20. But the Adventist Church teaches today that no one can overcome all sin, and yet God will not destroy them, but will make them perfect and take them to heaven, giving them eternal life anyway. That's immortality of the soul. It's exactly the same doctrine that Satan declared to Eve in the Garden of Eden, that you can disobey God, but not die. The Bible says the soul that sins, it shall die. But the Church teaches the soul that sins, it shall live. That's immortality of the soul. In the Adventist Review of December 6, 1984, page 6, the Church teaches, I will always fall short of my potential. Those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness are striving after an elusive goal. From the book The Return of Elijah, page 95, by Morris Vinden. It's published by the Pacific Press Publishing Association in 1982. We cannot live without sinning. In the book Faith That Works, page 175, by Morris Vinden, published by the Review and Herald Publishing Association in 1980. We are sinners. We will be sinners until Jesus comes, and sinners cannot produce obedience. All we can do is to give up ever hoping to produce any real obedience. From the Voice of Prophecy News of May 1985, page 2-3, by HMS Richards, Jr. If we die to sin at conversion, are we going to sin anymore? We will continue to sin as Christians, not because we want to, but because we're human. And then from the Ministry Magazine of December 1965, page 9. We should remember that only when Jesus comes can we be made perfect. So this specious immortality of the soul falsehood of being able to continue in sin until Jesus comes and then not being destroyed but instead made perfect has also been applied to the Adventist Church itself to try and excuse and justify her continued apostasy and rejection of God's truth. We're told in the Adventist Review of March 7, 1991, page 10, God's remnant church is Laodicea. which undeniably has its problems, but no less sure is God's offered remedy. The promise that Christ at his coming will present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So it's not just the church teaching that the sinners that can't overcome sin will make it into heaven and have eternal life, but even the church itself that cannot overcome sin will make it to heaven. Now, what does the Adventist Church teach today about there being only a grave but no hell to descend into when we die? You look at quote number 4 from the Adventist Review of June 10, 1982 on page 4. The Apostles' Creed states, I believe in God the Father and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to hell. The third day rose again from the dead, ascended to heaven. To this confession, which in principle goes back to the 2nd century A.D., the Seventh-day Adventist Christian can say wholeheartedly, Amen. What does the Adventist Church teach today about the gift of immortality being given only when Christ comes? If you look at quote number 5, from the Signs of the Times, May 1992 on page 11. The Bible presents eternal life as a present endowment of salvation, not just later, but now. And in the Adventist Review of October 8, 1992 on page 9, if we accept his or Christ's gospel and believe that the Father is as he represented him, we have already entered into eternal life. Well, what does the Adventist Church today teach about the sanctuary in heaven with two apartments, being the holy place and the most holy place? You look at quote number 6 from the book 27 Fundamental Beliefs put out by the Adventist Church on page 312, which is number 23 of the Fundamental Beliefs. It states, there is a sanctuary in heaven. In it, Christ ministers on our behalf. In 1844, at the end of the prophetic period of the 2300 days, he, or Christ, entered the second and last phase of his atoning ministry. Now, this statement removes the words most holy place that were used in the other statements dealing with the fundamental beliefs of Adventists. And you can go back to 1872, number 10, that shows it was the most holy place, and again 1912, number 10, which shows it was the most holy place. So they took out the most holy place language and put in its place the second and last phase. Now, what does the Adventist Church teach today about Christ's work of atonement going on in the most holy place, which began on October 22 at the ending of the 2300 days and will not be final until Christ finishes his work just prior to his second coming? What does the church teach about this great doctrine? If you look at quote number 7, from the Ministry Magazine of February 1957, page 10 and 44. The sacrificial act on the cross, a complete, perfect, and final atonement for man's sin. That is the Adventist understanding of the atonement. in the book Movement of Destiny, page 505, by Leroy Froom, published by the Review and Herald Publishing Association in 1991. The act of atonement was completed on the cross. In the Adventist Review of February 16, 1984, page 7, the Church states, atonement has been completed. In the book, 27 Fundamental Doctrines, on page 315, the atonement or reconciliation was completed on the cross, and the penitent believer can trust in the finished work of our Lord. And then in the book, The Sanctuary and the Atonement, page 586, by the Biblical Research Committee of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, published by the Review and Herald Publishing Association in 1981, is this statement. Today, Seventh-day Adventists do teach that complete sacrificial atonement was made on the cross. But our pioneers generally did not believe that atonement was made at the cross. So, the current statements of the church is a new position that was in direct contradiction to the mass of pioneer literature and inspired testimonies dealing with the truth of the atonement being ongoing, that it didn't end on the cross, but Christ is continuing his atoning work ever since October 22, 1844, in the most holy place. So then, because there was so much material from pioneers and inspired testimonies of Sister White stating just the opposite of what the current position of the church was, then the Adventist church needed to remedy this contradiction. And so to remedy this blatant contradiction between the old and now the new Adventist position on the issue of the atonement, the Adventist Church published this statement. In Questions on Doctrines, page 354 to 55, published by the Review and Herald Publishing Association in 1957. When, therefore, one hears an Adventist say, or reads in Adventist literature, even in the writings of Ellen G. White, that Christ is making atonement now, it should be understood that we mean simply that Christ is now making application of the benefits of the sacrificial atonement he made on the cross. Amazing, dear ones. That's a bunch of double talk. That's an outright deception being practiced not just on Adventists, but the world at large. And all to try and cover up that the church has changed its position on the atonement, one of the major truths contained in the third angel's message. So since the Adventist church has changed this truth on the atonement and is teaching that it was completed on the cross instead of being ongoing, then they must deal with the issue that only a priest can make atonement. And Christ, when he was on the earth, was not acting as a priest, but as the lamb, the sacrificial offering. And so the atonement could not have been made and completed on the cross. But what does the Adventist Church now teach about this fact of truth? In the Fundamental Doctrines, page 53. During his earthly ministry, Christ was both priest and offering. His death on the cross was part of his priestly work. So directly contradicting Scripture. Paul states in Hebrews 8:4 that Christ, when he was on the earth, was not a priest. He was the sacrificial lamb. But the church today teaches that Christ was both priest and sacrifice. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we first try to deceive. Now, what does the Adventist church today teach about Christ being the only head or the first minister of his church, and also our high priest and mediator between God and man? What does the church teach about this basic teaching of the gospel? From the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission versus the Pacific Press Publishing Association, civil case number 74-2025, capital CBR, the president of the General Conference at that time makes this statement under oath. Elder Robert H. Pearson is the president of the General Conference and, as such, the first minister of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, including myself as its first minister. Now, if the first minister or head of the Adventist Church is not Christ, but is the General Conference president, then who is our high priest and mediator between God and man? From the Ministry Magazine of December 1961, page 27 and 29, the church teaches this. We see here that his or Aaron's principal responsibility was to act as mediator, a link between the holy and profane, between God and man. In like manner, the SDA minister of the gospel today is the high priest. Today we, referring to Adventist ministers, are the high priests. What a tremendous responsibility to act as mediators between God and man. So I hope you can see that the Adventist church leadership of today has cast Christ away as being the high priest and mediator between God and man, and has replaced him with themselves. What does the Adventist church today teach about the true church of God being founded only on Christ and his truth? What do they teach about the marks of God's true church being those who keep the commandments of God and those who have the faith of Jesus, as well as the rest of the truths contained in the third angel's message? Has the church rejected all the third angel? This is what we will discover next time. May God help our people to understand the truth of what's going on. May God grant the Adventist church members spiritual eyesight so that they will not look upon things the way the world looks upon them, but may see and understand the truth. And may God help us all to look to Christ, to follow Christ, to be so imbued with his life, with his righteousness, that we will be able to clearly discern the difference between truth and error, and thus be able to intelligently choose to stand on the side of truth and oppose all those who stand on the side of error. May we indeed stand for God regardless of the consequences, and unite with others who have chosen to stand with God. and then go to work in spreading the real truth, the real three angels' messages to the world. Our closing song is entitled More Like the Master. And you can find this beautiful hymn on our website in the Home Church section under Music and then under Hymns. More like the Master I would ever be, more of His meekness, more humility, more zeal to labor, more courage to be true, more consecration for the work He bids me do. Take Thou my heart, I would be Thine alone. Take Thou my heart and make it all Thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me Thine forevermore. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me Thine forevermore. More like the Master is my daily prayer. More strength to carry the crosses I must bear. More earnest effort to bring His kingdom in. More of His Spirit the wanderers to win. Take Thou my heart, I would be Thine alone. Take Thou my heart and make it all Thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me Thine forevermore. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me Thine forevermore. More like the Master I would live and grow. More of His love to others I would show. More self-denial like His in Galilee. More like the Master I long to ever be. Take Thou my heart, I would be Thine alone. Take Thou my heart and make it all Thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me Thine forevermore. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me Thine forevermore. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads reverently for closing prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we're so grateful that you have not left us in darkness, but have brought us out into the marvelous light of truth on an ever-increasing basis. And thank you, Father, for bringing us into the truth gradually and for continuing to work upon our hearts through thy Holy Spirit to understand the message, the truth, to see ourselves as sinners that have deviated from the truth, even though it's been there all the time, ahead of us, before us, staring us in the face. And yet, we were so dull of comprehension that we couldn't see it. Father, continue to remove the scales from off our eyes, that we can see things clearly and not cloudedly, not out of focus, but instead seeing it crystal clear what your will is. Help us to continue to discern between truth and error, and instead of looking far off into the distance to see the difference, looking right at our feet to see the difference. Looking at ourselves and examining our lives, our beliefs, our positions to see the difference. And thank you, dear Spirit, for quickening our understanding and convicting us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. And thank you for using the inspired Word of God to correct us of our errors in doctrinal beliefs and for leading us into the truth. Continue to do so. Especially be with those who have heard the truth and are struggling with whether to follow it or not. Please especially empower them to understand the truth, to see it so crystal clear that they know without a doubt to go against it, that they are endangering their lives in this time of judgment. And please give them the grace, the courage, and the strength to say yes to you and follow the truth regardless of the consequences. And not say no to the truth because it is a cross to bear. Let none of the 1,000 different excuses that the devil can offer them to keep them from moving forward be of any attraction to them, but let them all fall by the wayside and be seen as worthless, diversionary barriers trying to keep them from following the truth and being set free. Thank you so much, dear Godhead, for working tirelessly for our salvation. Please help us to work in harmony with your efforts that we might indeed become saved if we endure unto the end, holding fast to our Savior and not looking back. We thank you, dear Godhead, for being with us, and please continue to dwell with us. And thank you so much for doing so. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen, dear ones. Are there any thoughts, any comments, questions, any ideas, anything else that you'd like to share? Any songs or testimonies? Any requests for songs? Please feel free to bring these all forth as we're now into our after-church service. And to me, it's one of the best times of the fellowship, is to be able to communicate one with another and to help to edify one and another as brothers and sisters. So please feel free. Well, praise the Lord, dear sister. There's a question in the room that says, where's a good online store to purchase real books, books of truth? And I don't want to get into the buying and selling or the purchase part of it, but I do want to direct you to where you can find a source for books of truth. And one source is entitled, the website is entitled, InLightOfProphecyFulfilled.org. You can find Books of Truth on that website. You can also visit our site here, lightministries.com, in the books section. And you'll be able to find books there that are free. You can read them and download them and study with God's Spirit to know and understand the truth more. You can also go to sr-pa.org, and you can find materials there that that will deal with the truth. And those would be three good sources I can give you right at this time. But praise God for your desire and your earnest seeking to want to know more of the truth as it is in Christ. Praise God, dear sister.
Hello, blessed Sabbath. I just was hoping to receive some of your prayers for, even though I've been praying earnestly and trying hard to spread the gospel, there's an entire family that's coming over for Sabbath today. And I thought they would be here, but they're coming in a little bit later. So we might end up talking about the Sabbath truth or wherever the Holy Spirit will take us. And I'm so happy and so excited. So keep us in your prayers and help them to receive the Word of God. Okay? I love you guys. Have a blessed Sabbath. Hugs and kisses.
Mwah. Amen, dear sister, and praise the Lord for being willing to share His truth with a whole family, and praise God for their interest to want to know more. So we will indeed be keeping them in prayer, as well as you and dearest Sean, in knowing what words and what topics to reveal to them. And the Spirit will lead and guide you and also open their hearts. So praise God indeed. And it is a wonderful feeling. The world can't give you this type of fulfilling satisfaction in teaching God's Word to others and watching them eat it up, just receive it as the Word of life, which it is. I mean, there's no greater feeling than that. And you can understand a little bit of what kept Christ going forward. It was seeing souls come into the truth and have a chance of salvation. That's what kept him going. So praise God, dear sister, and I pray that many more of our people will avail the opportunity to share the truth with others. And some are sowers of the seed. They never get to see the results of the seed that they sowed. But they know that God will take care of the seed, watch over it, and that an abundant harvest will take place. So praise God. Now, a scripture song comes to mind. It's 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the daughters of God. 1 John 3:1. And on that topic of love, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, 1 John 4:7-8.
I like to sing a scripture song. It is called, What Will You Do With Jesus? Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken what me at the sudden call. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Jesus is standing on trial still. You can be false to him if you will. You can be faithful through good or ill. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Will you evade him as Pilate tried? Or will you choose him whatever be tied? Vainly you struggle from him to hide. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Will you, like Peter, your Lord deny? Or will you scorn him from his foes to fly? Daring for Jesus to live or die, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Jesus, I give you my heart today. Jesus, I'll follow thee all the way. Gladly obeying thee, will you say, this I will do with Jesus. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me?
Hi all, happy Sabbath. We have two songs that we would like to sing today. One is Abide With Me, and the other is Crown Him With Many Crowns. I haven't sung that song in quite a time, so I do like the song. But the first one is Abide With Me. Elder Robert and Brother Dad, oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. It's Abide With Me. Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts me, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changes not, abide with me.
I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can for the tempest pass? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, oh, abide with me. I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Hills have no raid, and tears no bitterness. Where is destiny? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou wilt abide with me.
The other song, Brother Dad, do you have it on the website? Crown Him with Many Crowns. Oh, yes, you do.
Totally cool.
Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Dad. Okay. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side. Those wounds yet visible above in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sigh, but downward bend his wondering eye at mystery so great. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways. From pole to pole that wars may cease, and all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet their flowers of paradise extend their fragrance ever sweet. Crown him the Lord of years, the potentate of time, creator of the rolling spheres, ineffably sublime. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me.
I was singing a song in the car the other day, yesterday, as I was driving along, and it's a song that is kind of like an answer song, and in my head I could hear the girls singing hallelujah, and the guys singing praise ye the Lord. So it goes like this, and I wish we could all hear each other and sing with each other at the same time. But it goes, Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Be great to sing that with you guys someday.
Amen. Yeah, it's been a long time since I heard that song. And thank you for singing it. And also, dear Sean and Keisha, thank you for singing those two beautiful hymns. Dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share? Any other songs that you'd like to sing or requests? Please feel free.
Hi, all. We're back.
Grandma Joan. Okay, I grew up with that song. I know exactly what you mean. And well, since there's two of us here, we were thinking, like, we'll try to sing it, like, how you were singing it. But, like, how it goes, like, back and forth, you know? Because you know, that would be, like, really cool, really fun. And then it would be, like, all of us are singing together, you know? So... I was trying to, you know, get my husband to try to sing it with me. So, it goes like, I know exactly what you mean, right? It goes, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
And then like we switch it.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord. Okay, Sean wants to sing a song, but he's looking for it.
Okay, it's actually under the title called Jewels. I mean, I know it as Bright Gems for His Crown. I love the song. When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his love and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. He will gather the gems for his kingdom. All the pure ones, all the bright ones, his love and his home. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. Little children, who love their Redeemer, are the jewels, precious jewels, his love and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Ah, oh, he's so cool. Mm.
Do you want me to sing that one too?
Yeah, I asked.
Okay. I guess I'll be singing this one too. I don't mind. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt, not a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go.
Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone.
Dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who for God had been a host by joining Daniel's band.
Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known.
Many giants great and tall, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band.
Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose for a man to make it known.
Hold the temperance banner high, on to victory grand. Satan and his host defy and shout for Daniel's band.
Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose for a man to make it known.
Standing by a purpose truth, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, O hail to Daniel's band.
Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose for a day to make it known.
Thank you. Seventh. Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Well, thank you so much. This has been a wonderful after-church service. I pray that God will go with each one to continue to lead and guide you ever closer to Him. And may you continue to say, Lord, more of Thee and less of me. And I'd like to leave you with this hymn. And those that would like to sing along or take a verse, please feel free. It's titled, I Need the Prayers of Those I Love. I need the prayers of those I love while traveling o'er life's rugged way, that I may true and faithful be and live for Jesus every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I need the prayers of those I love to help me in each trying hour, to bear my tempted soul to Him, that He may keep me by His power. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I want my friends to pray for me, to hold me up on wings of faith, that I may walk the narrow way, kept by our Father's glorious grace. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. So thank you, dear ones, for your prayers. And our prayers and love are for you as well. So keep looking up until we meet again. May God bless.